It's good to be here this morning. I don't know where Matt is. He told me. But once he said, hey, can you teach Sunday school for me? After that, I forgot everything he said. So, Matt, wherever you are, thank you. It's a joy to be here with you this morning. Appreciate your prayers for Jed and Stephen. They are running the service at Carillon. I have the utmost faith that they will do just fine. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. We're going to end up in verse number 18, and there's a phrase in there that I want to focus on. And we'll start in probably like verse number 14 to get the flavor of what's going on here. But I'd like to give you a tool for your toolbox. Now, I don't think a man can have too many tools. Is it possible?
Right.
Tim, could you have too many tools? Tim's a tool guy. But not one tool fits every situation.
Right. Yeah.
Garrett? Okay. Can you hear me now?
There you go.
Not one tool fits every situation. So it's good to have a tool in the toolbox. I'd like to share with you. I got a guy over here saying he can't hear me.
Hey, don't do that. All right, hey, I'm on. Can you hear me now? Mr. Smith, I'm sorry about that. I know it goes right in here. Okay, you're all awake this morning. I don't think you can have too many tools. I want to share with you a tool that you can put in the toolbox that God has given me. He's been working on me, and I want to share with you what he gave me. I think it'll be a benefit. And some of you older gentlemen will probably be like, oh yeah, that's good. I've heard that before. That's okay. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to pick up in verse number 14, talking about the preeminence of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And here's the phrase I want you to underline in your Bible. That in all things he might have the preeminence. In all things that he might have the preeminence. Let's ask him to bless this time that we spend looking at his word. Father, it's a beautiful day. We thank you for that. We thank you that we can gather here on this glorious Lord's Day. Lord, we ask you to bless the service. I pray you'd give us open hearts to receive what your word teaches us, and then that we would put it into practice. Father, I thank you for speaking to my heart. I ask you to speak to my heart again, and I ask you to speak to every heart in this room through your word. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for everything that you accomplish here. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name, amen. Now listen, I'm going to give you the tool. I'm going to show you the tool. But with any tool, to make it work, you've got to use it. So I'm going to give you some homework at the end. So pay attention. There will be a quiz. Okay. In all things that he might have the preeminence. This word preeminence is a very important word. It's from the Greek word protuo. Protuo. Now listen, I'm not a Greek scholar. I didn't take Greek. Greek took me there. But this word is only used one time in the Bible. One time. And that makes sense. Because who is to be preeminent? Christ. You would say, and many of us would say, I would say, it means Christ is to be in first place. He's to be in first place. And we would be right to say that, but there's more than that. There's more than that. This word means to be first. To be first in rank. To be first in influence. To be first in influence. It comes from a word meaning foremost. Foremost in time. Foremost in place. Foremost in order of importance. Before, beginning, best, chief, chiefest, first of all. So the idea here is that Christ is to be in first place in the believer's life. First in influence. In front of everything, Christ. First of all, Christ. In the beginning, Christ. My first response, Christ. My first thought, Christ. Christ is to be the first thought, not an afterthought. He is to be the first influence. Who's in first place in your life? Who's in first place in your life? This really isn't a hard question because it really only boils down to two answers. And it runs throughout the entire Bible. It's really a black and white issue. You're either in or you're out. It's either on or it's off. It's black or it's white. It is or it isn't. There is no huge gray area in the middle. You know, I heard this little phrase 18 years ago, and I know where I was when I heard it, and I know how old my son was, and it stuck with me ever since. You can finish it with me. Only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. That's really where it comes down to. Who's in first place in your life? We know what the answer is supposed to be. We know what the answer is supposed to be. You know what? Advertising professionals know what the answer is supposed to be. They know what the real answer is. And that's what they appeal to with their advertising. Because if we were honest, we would say, in theory, it's all about him. But in practice, it's all about me. It's all about me. And that's who they target their advertising to. Now, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit of God works. I was working on a project at work, and I had about this much space on a label just above my name and telephone number to incentivize that person that was reading that pamphlet to pick up the phone and call me. And I thought, I've got space for seven words, maybe eight or nine tops, to generate some interest in getting them to call me. And I thought about it, and I studied it. Because once you print it up and hand it out, it's gone. And I thought, I need seven words, eight at the top. I studied it out, and I thought, you know what? Every company has a tagline where they try and generate that interest, where they try and pull you in. I just got this in the mail yesterday. It's an advertisement for Geico. You ride, we save you money. How many words is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's perfect. 7 words or less. I studied this on the internet, and I came up with the definition of a tagline. First time through college, I graduated as had a marketing major, BS in business. Okay, that was about 30 years ago. Taglines. Not a slogan, Joe. A slogan changes with the product or with the culture, but a tagline, you change once in a generation, and it instills the basic idea that you want to portray. They're everywhere. It's a distillation of corporate values and your identity. It answers the question, what is your brand's promise? The tagline articulates your brand's promise, and the company wants to be known for this tagline. They're everywhere. Joey, where do you work? Burger King. What's the tagline for Burger King? Have it your way. Who are they advertising to? Self. How about McDonald's? I'm loving it. Okay, what was their old tagline? I'm showing my age here a little bit. You deserve a break today. Back to Burger King. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. I was a kid. It's still there. All right. Name a few more. Just drive down the street in your mind. Walmart, what's their tagline? Tim? Save money, live better. I quizzed him last night. I knew he knew it. Save money, live better. Okay, we're driving down 74. We're passing State Farm. Like a good neighbor. How about Allstate? It's on the other side. You're in good hands with Allstate. What are they trying to do? They're appealing to self. Give me another one. Subway. Eat fresh. Taco Bell. Run for the border. I looked at my mortgage statement this morning. Okay, I didn't look at my mortgage statement this morning. I know what my mortgage statement says. I don't need to open it. But on the outside, it said U.S. Bank Home Mortgage. U.S. The tagline is all of us serving you. All of us serving you. Anybody know what the Harley Davidson tagline is? Pastor? Do you know what the Harley Davidson tagline is? Yeah. American by birth, rebel by choice. Who are they appealing to? Are they appealing to the preeminence of Christ, which is where we should be? Are they appealing to self? Advertisers know who's in first place in our life. What's your tagline? What's your tagline? If we were honest, we'd have to say, that's all about me. It's all about me. I remember we asked our kids a question once. They were much younger at the time. Maybe we had 4 at the time, maybe 5. It's been a while ago. And the question was, who do mommy love the most? Do you remember? Terrible question to ask as parents. And all the children were like, oh, you love us all the same. Did this happen in your family? Or you know who answered what. Oh, you love us all the same. And we asked them individually. We didn't ask them together. And one son said, me. Like, what? You don't even have to ask. I heard you. You're laughing. Me, of course. And if we're honest, that's really the way we behave. I mean, what's your tagline? When people look at you, do they think godly young teenager? Or do they think grumpy old man? Oh, I looked at the wrong person, sorry. Or do they think, I mean, because your tagline, you're promoting your image. You're promoting your brand. You're advertising your brand either by default, by accident, without thinking about it, or on purpose. And I want to give you a tool that you can advertise your tagline on purpose. And it's not really for everybody else. It's for you. It's to drive you back to keeping Christ preeminent. Keeping Christ preeminent. People do learn what your taglines are by observing you. I'm teaching Ryan to drive. And you can tell a lot about people just about the way they drive. How many of you seen 3 or more people run red lights this week? I mean, that is a pet peeve of mine. There was one that happened in Spindale that I almost got out of the car to get in front of that young man and say, do you realize what you just did? Because if that lady pulling out hadn't hesitated, it would have been a T-bone right there. I've seen it so many times. I'm trying to teach driving theory to my son. Theory. Why we do what we do. Son, I don't care if the light's green. You need to look left and you need to look right. I don't care if the light's green. You need to look both ways. We're out driving. Son, did you look both ways? Nope. Why not? The light was green. So? You still need to look left and right. And you know from experience that that's true. I wouldn't be here if I didn't practice that theory, left, right, and the light's green. I'm looking. How about speeders? How many speeders have you seen this week? How many times have you moved to the right to get out of the way to let someone that it's all about them get through and get by? How about tailgating? tailgating. When we moved down here, you know what the first thing I noticed? First thing I noticed when we moved down here was all the empty buildings. The second thing I noticed was, man, these people drive down here like it's a stock car race. Yeah, NASCAR Valley, here we are. Okay, so you observe, you'll know that their tagline is, it's all about me. Get out of my way. I'm coming through. Let's get back to being, to keeping Christ preeminent. Do you ever watch people at the grocery store? You can tell it's all about them just by the way they push that cart. Yeah? I could go on. It's easy to keep Christ preeminent when things are going our way and everything's running smoothly. It's easy to keep him in first place when all the children are still in bed, but you know, what about when they get out of bed? The problem is how to keep Christ in first place when difficulties come. How do we keep Christ preeminent? When the confrontations come, when the crises come, when the rubber meets the road, when you're in traffic and that guy cuts you off, how do you keep Christ preeminent? When that person is behind you and you can see their lips moving and their arms are flailing and there's certain fingers that are just being waved around, how do you keep Christ preeminent then? Is it, here's the problem. Here's where the rubber meets the road. It's when our all about me runs into someone else's all about me. And that's the world's thinking. What is your tagline? Personalize it. It is a distillation of your core values, your identity. It answers this question, what is my brand's promise? I want to challenge you to ask the same question that Paul asked and come to the same conclusion that Paul came to. Because turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at the same question that Paul asked. I believe it was his first question, and I believe that he asked this question over and over and over again every time. And after a while, he got so used to asking the question that he got to the answer. Pretty soon he didn't have to ask the question anymore. And he had his tagline. And you can borrow his tagline, like I did, or you can come up with your own. But I think Paul's is pretty good. Look at Acts chapter 9. We're going to start in verse number 6. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He had their authority. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He got it right. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, and here is the question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I think he asked that question every time there was a confrontation. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Every time there was a problem, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Every time there was a disturbance, a confrontation, an issue, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Skip over. Underline that in your Bible, because I want you to ask you that. I want you to ask that question every day. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Great question to ask. This is the question. And I'm sure that Ananias relayed this message to Paul word for word, because Ananias is told to go meet Paul. Ananias doesn't want to. Look at verse number 15 in the same chapter. Go thy way. But the Lord said unto him, verse number 15, Acts chapter 9, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I'm sure Ananias relayed that message word for word. If God spoke to you and told you to go speak to someone else, I'm sure you would have said exactly what God told you. Brother Paul, he said you were a chosen vessel unto the Gentiles. He said you're going to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And he said he's going to show you how great things you must suffer for his name's sake. You know, when you just look at verse number 16, that pretty much does away with a prosperity gospel, does it not? That really goes against the grain of health and wealth prosperity. That's just out the window. Because it's not all about you, it's all about him. And that's what God is saying here. He's saying, Paul, it's not about you, it's about me. It is about me. That is what God said. So what is Paul's tagline? What is Paul's tagline? This is it. Paul asked the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He got the answer from God. It's not about you, it's about me. I'm going to show you great things that you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. God said, it's all about me. That's the answer that Paul took. And his tagline is not in the Bible, but this is what it is. I will glorify God. I will glorify God. It got to the point where he didn't even have to ask the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When the problem came, I will glorify God. When the bill came that he couldn't pay, I will glorify God. When there was an argument with his wife, did Paul have a wife? I will glorify God. When there was a problem in the synagogue, I will glorify God. When he was run out of town, I will glorify God. When he was shipwrecked, I will glorify God. You say it's all through the Bible. Here's an example. Acts chapter 16. Paul demonstrates over and over what his tagline is. One example in particular, and I think when you read through your Bible, you're going to see this over and over again. Acts chapter 16, verse number 25. Just got a text from Ryan. He's driving. I know. Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. How would you respond in this situation? I know how I would respond. Hey, are you awake? Yeah, I'm awake. How am I going to sleep in this disgusting place? How did we get here? I don't know. This is another fine mess you've got us into. I know. I can't believe it. Back in Jerusalem, I had a great job. What was I thinking? No, they sang praises unto God. They prayed and sang, and what happened? People saw him. People observed him. They didn't have to think, Lord, maybe he did say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he got the answer. It's not about you, Paul. It's about me. I will glorify him. And that's what they did. This was the distillation of his core values. It was his identity. So what is your tagline? What is your tagline? It's not a slogan, because a slogan can change with the product, with the culture, with the marketing program. A tagline, you change once in a generation. And it's who you are. It's your core value. What if we woke up every day and asked the same question Paul did and then quickly got to the same answer that Paul did? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Isn't that a good question to be asking? Because it's not about us, it's about him. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's not about you, it's about me. It's not about me, it's about him. I will glorify God? When you ask that question, when you ask the same question that Paul asked of God, we're going to get to the same answer. I will glorify God. I just wrecked my car. Lord, what will thou have me to do? It's not about me. It's not about my circumstances. It's all about Him. I will glorify God. You got a bill in the mail that you can't pay. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's not about me. It's about Him. I will glorify God. I'm having issues with my wife. I'm not. I'm just making up a story. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And it's not about you. It's about Him. I will glorify God. How would keeping Christ preeminent in your life change things? When you're dealing with someone and you're starting to get frustrated and you can tell that you're getting into the flesh, how would it change things for you to keep Christ preeminent? Because you would be in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I had this happen recently. I was talking to someone. They had an idea, and I had an idea. And we were starting to do this. And I realized that I was getting agitated. And you know what I said? I will glorify God. I got right to the tagline, I will glorify God. My tone changed. My attitude changed. I listened a little bit more and I talked a little bit less. How would your relationship with your spouse change if you kept Christ preeminent? Would you be short? Would you be curt? Would you snap? I will glorify God. Would you be more patient with your children? I will glorify God. How would it change your behavior at work if you kept Christ preeminent? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do at work? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do with my children? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's not about you. It's about Him. I will glorify God. What's your purpose? Should be pretty close to your tagline. I will glorify God. Would it change the way you drive? Would you be running that red light? Because when you're running that red light, you're putting somebody else in danger. You're putting your personal needs in front of the safety of somebody else. You ever been the first on the scene of an accident where someone ran a red light? I will glorify God. How would it change your driving? Would you be driving 10 over? Probably not. Would you be that tailgater? Probably not. Would you be that person that is in such a hurry? I have a couple of slogans that I use in teaching my philosophy of driving. It's a steering wheel. Use it. It's a steering wheel. Use it. It's less than 7 words. It's perfect. Coast. That's all I have to say. Coast. Son, when we get in a hurry, we make mistakes. We don't need to be in a hurry. How would keeping Christ at the center of your thought life change the way you grocery shop? Because I know how it is to be in the grocery store. I don't remember Aldi's tagline. Does anybody? But I know that the carts got bigger. And like the aisles got smaller. And they moved everything around the store so that when I go into Aldi, my wife does most of the grocery shopping, and I used to do a lot of it, not anymore. I can't find anything, and I can't get through the aisles, and it's very frustrating. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do with this shopping cart? It's not about you, Wayne. It's about me. It's about God. I will glorify God. Teenagers, how would things change if your first thought when your father or mother asked you, what are you doing and where are you going? If your first thought was, I will glorify God. How would things change? Be a whole lot sweeter in your house, wouldn't it? I will glorify God. The list could go on and on. So what? Let me ask you 2 questions. What is your tagline? Remember, it's a distillation of your core values. It's really your brand and what you want people to know about you and how you position yourself. Who is to have the preeminence? Is your purpose in life to bring glory to God? In front of everything, I will glorify God. First of all, I will glorify God. In the beginning, I will glorify God. My first response, I will glorify God. My first thought, I will glorify God. Christ is to be the first thought, not an afterthought. He is to be the first influence. I've adopted Paul's tagline, I will glorify God. And I've put it into practice. I've thought about it for a while. It's a tool. It's a tool. But you know, with any tool, there's a little manual that comes with it on how to use the tool. Here it is. And then with any tool, you get better by using it. If I tell you how to use it, you're going to forget. If I show you how to use it, you're going to remember a little bit. But if you go out and use it, you're going to remember. And I've given you a question that you need to ask to help you, to get you where you want to go. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's the same question Paul asked. I know it's a good question. I know what the answer is. God told Ananias, and Ananias told Paul, it's not about you. It's about me. And then we saw how Paul put it into practice. I will glorify God. I will glorify God. So what about all those other taglines? Because the world is vying for your attention. And the world is trying to get you in the flesh. I've started playing a game. Because every company out there has a tagline. And I've tried to get it off self and onto Christ. Because He is to be preeminent. What's the tagline for Burger King, Joey? Is that appealing to my flesh or is that appealing to my Savior? I want it my way. You know what? How about Burger King? Have it His way. I'm loving it. I'm loving Him. I'm loving church. Just change it. Keep it in the forefront of your mind. How about that Harley Davidson? American by choice. No, American by birth. Independent Baptist by choice. I see a Harley. That's what I'm thinking now. I'm putting Him back in the forefront. Someone give me another one. You're driving down the street. Allstate. You're in His hands. Thank you. I love it. Like the Good Shepherd, Jesus is there. Listen, I looked up a bunch of them on the internet. Everyone knows the Nike slogan, right? Just do it. Just read it. Just live it. You know what the Reebok one was? This bothered me. I am what I am. That's scripture. I am what I am. That I don't think the application is right. I am what I am. Apple. Who's the Apple guy in here? Curtis, you an Apple guy? What's the tagline for Apple? Think different. How about think Bible? Or learn to think in King James English. Now, come on, this is fun. Walmart, save money, live better.
Get saved, live better.
That's exactly what I thought. Get saved, live better. Subway. You're Baptist, so am I. I'm thinking I'm still stuck on the eat thing. You know, churches have taglines. What's our church's tagline? Reaching the world one soul at a time. I like it. The church I came from, it was Wayside Baptist Church, walking His way side by side. I like it. I heard another one. I can't remember the name of the church. A church with a heart for people. What about our dentist? This was on our refrigerator this morning. I won't say the name of the dentist. The Center for Oral Health. The Center for Spiritual Health. The church. Anybody got any others? Say it again. Be all you can be, the army. Be all God wants you to be. The few, the proud, the Marines. The few, the proud. Pride. The few, the humble. The, Listen, we could have a lot of fun with this. And we can keep Christ in the forefront of our minds because Christ is to have the preeminence. And things change when we keep Christ in his proper place. We respond differently. We act differently. We talk differently. The tone of our voice is different. The mannerisms that we use, the places we go, the things we say, the things we do, they're all different when we're in Christ. And people need to see that. People need to see that. And they really notice when the circumstances are not good. Because anybody can put on a Christ-honoring face when you got money in the bank and the bills are paid and the kids are behaving and everything's going smooth. Ask yourself this question. The same question that Paul asked you. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When the bottom falls out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When things don't go your way, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's a Bible question. But quickly get to the same answer that Paul got to. I will glorify him. You know, it's very interesting how God brought me to this, but it is a tool. There's lots of tools available for us to use. They're all in here, but we got to use them. It's not enough to know about them. We got to use them. And if you like it, use it. If you don't, use another one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word that meets our needs. It meets us where we are and helps us to go where we need to be. And Father, if we were honest, we would all say, you know what? Too many times, it's a me first attitude. I put myself in first place too many times. But may we pray by the grace of God, Lord, I want you to be preeminent in my life. I want to keep you preeminent in my life. And then the Lord honors those that do his word. So Father, help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen.